hours of 550 K-Fire Bismarck, 910 KCJB Minot, AM 1100 The Flag in Fargo-Moorhead, KLTC 1460 in Dickinson, and KTGO 1090 Radio Tioga, and the only talk radio in the Bakken. This is What's on Your Mind. I'm Scott Hennon, along with Steve Bakken. We have a couple of guests this hour. The first one is the Department of Public Instruction Superintendent to answer your questions. We had a lot of calls and comments and concern, mainly over Common Core standards. What are they? How will they be implemented? How will they impact education in North Dakota? We'll ask our guest in the first half hour that question for you, and welcome your calls, questions, and comments. And also in the second half of this hour, we are joined by Maggie Anderson. She's the new head of the North Dakota Department of Human Services in North Dakota. We've got a lot of questions about Medicaid and about whether or not North Dakota should expand Medicaid and not expect that the federal government, which is broke, will renege at some point on its commitment. So we're going to talk about that, too. Two topics that you brought up that you've asked us to get answers for that we are on the job for you. Here's how you join us. 800-228-0550 is the toll-free telephone number. One more time, nice and slow, 800-228-0550, or you can call us at 701-258-0550. You can always email kfyr@clearchannel.com.
I'm usually the one that reads things too fast.
Well, we all do. When we say that number 1,000 times. So the best thing to do is have it in your speed dial. That way when you hear a topic or a question or something you want to comment on, it's nice and easy right there in your favorites, and boom. So, our guest is here to answer your questions and comments, right, Steve?
North Dakota Department of Public Instruction, Kirsten Basler. Kirsten, welcome back to the studio, my dear.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me. Good.
Well, let's get right into this. I know the Common Core standards, a lot of people have had questions on that as far as our callers and listeners, but it's a little bit bigger than that. I mean, that's kind of just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. Explain to those that do not know what Common Core standards are.
Absolutely. I think the most important thing to clarify is sometimes Common Core standards is misstated as Common Core curriculum, and that's a term that's often used. There is a significant difference between what a standard is and what a curriculum is. And being such a locally controlled, governed state, it's very important to understand that even with the adoption of Common Core state standards, curriculum and the choices and uses of materials will always be determined at a local level. So getting to what Common Core state standards is, North Dakota has had standards, expectations of learning, basically, for generations, for decades. The governors, the National Governors Association, and the state superintendents from across the country began seeing some difficulty when No Child Left Behind came out and we had this national comparison of how students were doing on their state standards. And they began having a conversation about, you know, it's probably a good idea for us to begin looking at having a common set of expectations. Because, for instance, in Bismarck, North Dakota here, we have 30 different states represented in our schools this year, coming from other states to North Dakota for the very, very first time. Viola LaFontaine, the superintendent up in Williston, experienced that last fall. So if they're moving to us from different states and we don't have a common set of expectations, our kids were coming and moving through school with a significant gap in learning.
Well, that's how you and I got on this discussion a couple of weeks back, and that's because you and I are pretty much on the same page about building into higher education from K-12, and you were telling me some of the results that came back from the survey were it's not the North Dakota kids that are having the problems going into higher education in North Dakota.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, we're seeing that our students are significant. But even so, if you had a student moving from North Dakota and a standard of English writing was going to be taught in fourth grade in North Dakota, and they move to an East Coast, let's say Connecticut, and that foundation English writing standard was taught in third grade in Connecticut, he leaves here, he or she, that student leaves here between the summer between third and fourth grade. He didn't get it in North Dakota because he was supposed to be getting it in fourth grade, but his counterparts in Connecticut had already received that foundation. So he missed some things. And so
I'm sorry, Kirsten. No. Go ahead and finish.
So we needed to, that's how the conversation originated, was the governors and the state superintendents saying, boy, if we are doing this, if we're teaching a nation of children, we should probably have the same level of standards. Because you move into the next step of assessment. North Dakota's assessment is more rigorous, and we're assessing on different things. Our cut scores are higher, and our students are very successful. They're prepared, but that wasn't common across the states. Again, personal example, I had students that had moved in, a family of three that had moved in from a different state. They were scoring proficient and advanced on their previous state's assessment. They moved to North Dakota, and they were partially proficient and below proficient. And so we're not doing our students any service by having those gaps. And it's not because the state assessment in that former state was any less or more rigorous, but they probably learned different things that year that they were in that former state. But we were assessing them on what North Dakota
did. Did I hear you earlier say that, that the Common Core state standards were an outcrop of No Child Left Behind? Is this done to, in other words, is this in response to the No Child Left Behind controversy to say, hey, we're going to handle this more at the local level, at the state level, than the federal mandate? Explain how it ties in.
Well, I think it partially was driven. We saw the national assessment, or we saw state assessments, each state needing to report their results. But more so, it was the fact that our nation has become more mobile, that our students are more transient with their families as their parents begin their upward career mobility. And even within North Dakota, even within the district of Bismarck and Mandan, you see students move from one house to the next, and there needs to be some consistency. And that's what we've always had in North Dakota, is that expectation of learning. Now we're just saying it shouldn't matter whether they move from Fargo into Moorhead. They should be on par with. And basically, it's an outcrop of getting our kids ready for college and career, no matter what state they live in.
We hear from a lot of folks whenever this question comes up that are very concerned, don't like it. I mean, are you hearing those same concerns, and how are you addressing the folks that have worries about a Common Core state standard?
Scott, we are hearing those same things. They'll read something, and I think the thing that we need to assure them of most is distinguishing between what is a standard and what curriculum is. So the standard is that, you know, a fourth grader will need to be able to write a friendly letter, or they'll be able to distinguish between retell the plot of a story. So that's what the standard is. What a teacher chooses to use to teach that standard in their curriculum, in their unit or lesson plans, is completely within the control of what that local school district chooses to use. And once we explain that to them, that there aren't going to be required readings, or there is a transition from more fiction reading to nonfiction reading, but they can use, I've seen great lesson plans. Our teachers across North Dakota have been working on this for, you know, up to 2 years, and they're just making phenomenal connections. They'll read Owl Moon, and they'll tie in a nonfiction book about owls, and those type of integrated learning. It's phenomenal.
You mentioned cut score. For those that don't know, what is a cut score, and why is it important?
A cut score is basically, on a standardized test, what is proficient, whether it's advanced, proficient, below, partially proficient, or novice. And so those are the cut scores. And I think what's important to understand about No Child Left Behind is when it began in 2001-2002 school year, the cut scores were the same, but what increases in intervals of every 3 years is that by the year 13-14, 100% of our students need to be proficient in order for a school not to be labeled failing. So a cut score, you know, let's say...
Is that realistic?
It is not. It is not realistic, because a cut score, let's translate it into terms that people from high school in our days can understand. A cut score could be translated into a B, a grade of a B. And so for us to expect that 100% of our students get at least a B in math and English language arts, and when I say every student, 100% of our students, I mean our special education students, I mean our English as a second language learner students, I mean our physically handicapped students, I mean all of those people, all of those students, 100%. And if we don't have 100% of those subgroups then our school would be failing. That's not realistic.
We're coming up against a break, but I do want to get a caller in here. And if you have any questions or comments, they're welcome for Kirsten Baszler, the superintendent of public instruction in North Dakota, at 800-228-0550. Yana in Park River. We'll get as much of your question in as we can in the next 40 seconds here. Go ahead.
Okay, well, hi. Number one, I appreciate what Ms. Baszler is doing for DPI, but have a concern. We're talking about assessments and standards. Don't they actually dictate then curriculum, and therefore we lose local control over curriculum?
Thank you, Yana, for the question. They are not good. Our assessments have always been dictated by our standards, and that has been going on for the since we've had state assessment. Again, how a teacher chooses to reach that goal is going to be left up to the school board. It's the school board that reviews, and along with community input, that reviews what curriculum is approved and not approved. That
hold that thought if you would. We'll continue. Yana, stay there. If you have a follow-up, we can get to it on the other side of the break. Kirsten Baszler with us. This is What's on Your Mind. More with Steve Bach, and I'm Scott Hinman. After this timeout, don't go away. Did you know there were 78 credit unions in North and South Dakota with assets in excess of $4.2 billion and nearly a half a million credit union members? Credit unions play a very important role in the financial landscape of the Dakotas. They're unique in their structure. They're member-owned, not-for-profit financial cooperatives that return their earnings back to members. Unfortunately, most folks and even our policymakers don't understand that. Credit unions exist to help people, not make a profit. And credit unions operate under the philosophy of people helping people. That philosophy works well in the Dakotas, so the credit unions can serve their members, including those of modest means, providing credit at reasonable rates and other financial services to members. And they work hard to assist their members to become better educated consumers of financial services. Find out more at CUontheRoad.org. CU as in credit union on the road.org. And on their Facebook page, the Credit Union Association of the Dakotas.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Hold on to me as we go. With Steve Bach and I'm Scott Hanna. This is What's on Your Mind. K-Fire 550, our flagship across the Northern Plains. Also KCJB, AM 1100, the flag. KLTC in Dickinson and KTGO in Tioga, Stanley, Watford City, and the Bakken region. All right, Yana, follow-up question for our guest, Kirsten Baszler from the North Dakota Department of Public Instruction.
Yeah, just real quick, again, want to reiterate that I, as a mom and as a school board member, I totally agree with Ms. Basler about the quality of education that we need here. I think North Dakota can be a leader in that. I do, however, am concerned, like other parents, about Common Core. I think 11 or 13 states now, I believe, have opted out or voted to opt out of Common Core, which should sort of put up a red flag. So I guess maybe my question would be, are we going to have a public forum or some kind of discussion to educate and to inform and to have input from school board members and parents in North Dakota? Because I think, frankly, this concern is just going to keep growing.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important point, and I think you and I agree on this tremendously. The fact that local community, local parents, they need to get involved. They need to take a look at what these Common Core standards are. They need to be involved in the local decisions that school boards and their school districts are making. Take a look at the curriculum. If you don't agree with it, then voice your opinion, influence, and then help that community school choose different and alternative resources to teach that. Just to say, there, I was at a chief's meeting last week, and there were 11 states that were thinking about it, but as of now, I don't know. I believe that Indiana has, but Alabama has chosen to stay in it. I believe Tennessee was considering it. Kansas was considering it. But as of Friday, I understand that they've used the opportunity to take a look at it, and they've determined that it was a good thing for their state. So for public forums, there have been several in Mandan. North Dakota Department of Public Instruction is, we have a group that is led by Mr. Ryan Townsend. It's the Common Core State Standards Project, and there's a communications subgroup committee that's working with by some phenomenal educators in North Dakota, and they're pretty inclusive, and they're working on those communication pieces, and that's one of our goals, is to go out and answer those questions. I think if I can, I'd like to just make one point about where they derive from. Scott, you had asked me, is it a result of No Child Left Behind? And the difference between our previous standards and the way our standards were built previously and the way that the Common Core has been built is, when standards were previously built across the states, they started with kindergarten. Kindergarten teachers were brought together, and they said, this is what our kindergarten, you know, students are doing. And then from there, first grade teachers built on that, second grade teachers built on that. What's different about this process is we decided to start with the end in mind. What did our students need to know and be able to do to be successful that first year of college and not need remediation classes? And that's, the governors and the state superintendents were saying, we're just hearing such an outcry. So we've got to make sure that they're ready to start college. So they started with the end in mind and built the standards backwards. And I think what's going on today is a perfect example of that. As we speak, meeting in Valley City and in Bismarck on the Valley City State University campus and the Bismarck State College campus is two pilot projects. We're bringing together 9 through 12 math teachers with the math department on Bismarck State College campus, and we're bringing together 9 through 12 English teachers to meet with the Valley City State University English Department to create a common set of expectations and a bridge between our K-12 system and our first year of college. And that's critical, and the Common Core is assisting in that.
Yana, thanks for the phone call. We're going to move on to Bob in Manville. What's on your mind today?
Hi, guys. Thanks. I just had a really quick question here. There's a number of things that bother me about this Common Core that I've looked into deeper. But just right now, for sake of time and everything, I just would like to ask one question. Why is it that they will be teaching, according to this Common Core standard, the American Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights and all of this in English class rather than in history class where it belongs? And I'll tell you, I think I have my reasons why they're doing that. I just don't agree with that. And that's one thing that struck me wrong about this. So thank you, and I'll listen off air. Carl.
Thank you, Bob. I think that's a good question. The reason, from my understanding, is that they want to have them be reading the American Constitution. They want them to be having read the Bill of Rights in depth, analyzing it. It will still be taught, those major components will still be taught in the civics classes, in the history classes, our U.S. history classes. But with the Common Core State Standards, they want to move away from the isolation that the Bill of Rights is just a history subject. They want them to analyze how important it is to be articulate with your words and your speech. And those are two great documents that are exemplars of great writing and great articulation of ideas. And so that certainly is a standard in English, and they want to cross-teach that. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the lesson and unit plans that we're seeing North Dakota teachers develop as examples and to include in our website of Clearinghouse Ideas, in North Dakota, there are great examples of our history teachers and our English teachers working together to team teach these great lesson plans. And I think, again, that's just going to benefit our students more if you hear it in history class and then you get to hear it again in English class. They're going to be more familiar with it.
Bob, thanks for the call. 800-228-0550. Just a couple minutes left with our guest, Kirsten Baszler, who is the superintendent of public instruction in North Dakota. Are you liking the new job, by the way?
I am. I'm really excited to be able to help our students.
Now, of course, all those things you talked about during the campaign, the legislative session is over. Is it a case of just implementing all those priorities?
Yep, that's it. And as I said, today is we didn't waste any time. We're having those. It was a major pillar of my campaign to bridge that gap between K-12 and our college and universities. And we didn't want to waste any time. We want to be ready to implement that, so we're bringing those teachers together.
How did you implement that with bringing together the K-12 and then the higher education on the same page for this?
What we did was we approached the MREC, which is one of our REAs in the southwest part of North Dakota, and the SEEC in the southeastern part of the state, based out of Fargo, and we asked them to help us coordinate it. We visited with the university system. Amy Copas has been instrumental in helping us pull this together. So Drake Carter from the Bismarck State College and Margaret Dahlberg from Valley City State University, they jumped right on board, and they got their department chairs, Dan Langang, the math department chair at Bismarck State, and Julie Russell of Valley City. They jumped right on and said, yeah, yes, we can do a better job of this, and we've got to align what their expectations are. So I think people were eager and waiting, so the Department of Public Instruction provided grants to both the Bismarck State College and Valley City State to bring these teachers together.
You also wanted to tell us a little bit about something that you were doing on accreditation. Give us a quick update on that.
Thank you very much. We are another one of my initiatives and what I think is going to impact our students across North Dakota, all 100,000 of them. Beginning in the 13-14 school year, we will have a statewide accreditation system, meaning that every school in North Dakota will go through what was formerly known as the NCA accreditation process. It's changed its name to Advanced Ed. So every one of our schools will be evaluated using external processes and external evaluations for continuous improvement. They're going to look at things like governance and leadership and the appropriation of dollars and specifically the instruction practices and helping schools analyze what they can do to improve and then report accountability to all of our stakeholders that are investing so much money.
Thanks for the update. Tina and Beulah, sorry we're not going to get to you. She had a question on assessments, and Larry and Fargo want to know what kids are learning about the Constitution. So you can find out at least what folks have on their mind, and we'll have you back here to talk more about this. Thanks so much.
Very good. Thank you.
We'll be right back with more of What's on Your Mind after these messages.
Here's a really good reason to shop Nelson Auto Center in Fergus Falls. 7 new vehicle brands to choose from on one lot. That means you can take a test drive in a new F-Series truck, then a new Ram, and follow that with a GMC Sierra. What a great way to compare trucks and choose the one you like best and do it all in one stop. Nelson has a great lineup of great cars, vans, and SUVs too. Ford, Lincoln, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram, plus GMC. Nelson Auto Center has them all. Your choice and the best buy always. And we deliver your vehicle free within 300 miles. NelsonFergusFalls.com, exit 54, Fergus Falls.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LaCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LaCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LaCig.com. And LaCig smokes the competition. mission by serving thousands of worldwide customers with Real People customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
There's something happening here.
What's in your mind? I'm Steve Bach, along with Scott Hennon. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. You wanted the answers, we get the experts in here, because we are by no means the experts. You're listening to us on AM 910 KCJB in Minot, AM 1460 KLTC in Dickinson, AM 550 K-Fire in Bismarck, AM 1100 The Flag in Fargo, and AM 1090 The Flag in Tioga. Taking a look at some of the weather around the region. 61 in Bismarck this hour, Williston at 58, Dickinson 61. 62 in Minot this hour, 62 in Bowman, Grand Forks at 59, Fargo at 57 this hour. Joining us on the program, Maggie Anderson, Executive Director of the North Dakota Department of Human Services. You wanted the experts, we got the experts for you. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. We'd love to know what's on your mind. Maggie, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. The one preface with the show here is Scott Hanna, myself, Steve Bach, and we have by no means stated that we're experts on any subject. We have our opinions, but they're not as important as our listeners' opinions. One of the things the listeners wanted to know about was a lot of the different human services that take place here in North Dakota. Give us a little rundown of your department for those that don't know. It's a pretty encompassing department.
Yes, it is. So the Department of Human Services, just if we look at the dollars, first off, the appropriation from the legislature specifically to the department was about $2.9 billion for the upcoming 13-15 biennium. Of that, about $1.2 billion are state general funds. And we like to look at our service deliveries in terms of those dollars and show how those dollars go out into the state and into the community. And about 63% or 63 cents of every dollar goes out for services, such as the Medicaid grants, so to hospitals, to pharmacies, to dentists, to nursing homes, to providers that serve the developmentally disabled. And again, that encompasses about 63 cents of every dollar. Then we have about 20 cents of every dollar that's direct client services. And those are our programs such as child care assistance, our special or our supplemental nutrition assistance program, formerly known as food stamps, our temporary assistance for needy families program, and our programs that assist people in securing employment, such as vocational rehabilitation. We also have the child welfare programs within our agency, as well as the aging services programs and mental health and substance abuse. So 20 cents of every dollar goes to fund those programs and goes out again into the communities, to child care providers, to grocery stores, to providers that assist people in securing employment. Then we have about 10 cents of every dollar that is for our field services area, which is really direct health care delivery. We have two institutions that are part of the Department of Human Services. We have the State Hospital in Jamestown and the Developmental Center in Grafton, as well as 8 regional human service centers in the 8 largest communities, and they provide direct service. And, of course, the 2 institutions are 24/7 operations. And then the remaining 7 cents of our budget is for administration. So we have a statewide impact, serving many North Dakotans through a variety of services and the programs that we provide.
One question we've had from a lot of folks, and mainly it's been directed at policymakers that are making the decisions to vote this way more so than with yourself, but it's about the expansion of Medicaid and why the state of North Dakota, in a sound financial position, would take federal dollars from a federal government that is broke to expand Medicaid. Could you explain the rationale behind that and answer that question we've heard over and over and over again?
Well, the Medicaid expansion is projected in North Dakota to serve somewhere between 20 and 32,000 individuals. There's a variety of estimates. And those are people today who are below 138% of poverty. And just to provide some perspective on that, that's about $21,000 for a household of 2. So that's about 138% of poverty. And many of these individuals are unable to afford to pay for their health insurance today. And what we heard from providers, for example, the hospital providers, that they have uncompensated care today from residents who do not have health care coverage but need to seek services at the hospital. And so the funding of the expansion will bring the dollars in to cover those costs. That will be money that will be able to be used by those facilities to do upkeep on their capital facilities. We'll also be able to pay staff, and we'll be able to provide health care coverage for this population that has not been able to access care in many instances. So it's a way to ensure that group is part of the pool of people who are able to access health care.
We're talking with Maggie Anderson, Executive Director of the North Dakota Department of Human Services. I'm Steve Bach along with Scott Hannon. This is What's on Your Mind, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Maggie, I think it's a little subjective that, you know, I don't know if I can afford to pay my health insurance. That's kind of a sliding number. But what happens if the federal money dries up? We're dealing with a government, a federal government, that's for all intents and purposes broke. How much of this is going to come back on and land in the lap of the state?
Sure. A couple things. First of all, I'll address your first question about the affordability. With the Health Care Reform Act, or the Affordable Care Act, that was passed in March of 2010, there are provisions in that bill that allow individuals between 100% of poverty and 400% of poverty to go to the health insurance marketplace, the health insurance exchanges, as they're called, to secure health insurance if they don't have access to it. And there will be a sliding fee scale of premiums and subsidies that will be available. So that will go up to 400% of poverty, which for a household of 1 at 400% of poverty is a little over $3,700 a month. So there will be assistance within the act for individuals outside of the Medicaid expansion. So in answer to your second question about, well, what happens if the federal government support for the expansion goes away? And the legislature, in their debate of House Bill 1362, which was the bill that enacted the expansion, put an expiration date on the bill. And that sunset or expiration date will allow the legislature to review the expansion during their 2017 legislative assembly. So certainly they can look at enrollment numbers, they can look at utilization, but they can also see where the federal financing is. And if there has been a movement at the federal level to reduce the promised federal financing, they could reexamine that. The legislature also included language in House Bill 1362 that will require the department, as we issue notices to people indicating that they've enrolled and that they're eligible, that should the federal participation decrease or be eliminated, that their Medicaid benefits may be reduced or eliminated. So they anticipated that possibility and put that language in there so they would have the opportunity to review it, as well as that we would be providing notice to individuals that should that federal money be diminished or eliminated, we would revisit that. And just so everybody is aware of what we're talking about in terms of that federal matching percentage, typically for Medicaid expenditures, as of October of this year, our federal medical assistance percentage, which is commonly referred to as FMAP, will drop to 50%. And so for each dollar we spend on Medicaid, the state will put in 50 cents and the federal government would contribute 50 cents. That is different for the Medicaid expansion, because with the Medicaid expansion, the first three calendar years, so calendar years 2014, 2015, and 2016, the federal match will be 100%. So the federal government will be paying 100% of the cost, and then that will tear down until calendar year 2020, when the federal law calls for that percentage to be 90%. So it's that piece that the legislature tied the provision in House Bill 1362 to say that if that would be eliminated or reduced from those percentages that are called for in the law, that they would want to revisit the expansion.
Does it ever happen, Maggie, where you offer a benefit, in this case, as you say, tied to funding from the federal government that goes away? You say, sorry, we can no longer offer that benefit. Do benefits ever go away?
There are times where perhaps a specific program or a service may go away, and certainly with our current federal medical assistance percentage, it's been dropping over the last decade, and we're at 50%. We haven't always been at 50%. We were in the 60s and 70%. So we have had experience with a declining federal match. I have not been involved where we've eliminated a program per se.
Maggie, running through the programs, are there more programs or more specific programs that we deal with here in North Dakota than other programs? What are some of the typical programs that your agency deals with the most for residents of North Dakota?
Well, the certainly Medicaid is a large portion of the department's budget, and that program touches about 66,000 people today. We also have our child care assistance program that assists families in securing affordable child care. We have the heating assistance program, our vocational rehabilitation services, and the food stamps, SNAP, some of those other things that I had mentioned previously. So those would be, you know, many of the programs that we offer here in the department.
Maggie Anderson is with us, who heads up North Coast Department of Human Services, which is right now has a record amount of dollars that are flowing through it, and we have a robust economy in the state of North Dakota, but the human services budget breaks the billion-dollar barrier. Think about that. What was the significance of that particular milestone in your view, Maggie?
Well, the $1.2 billion that you're talking about in general funds is certainly a culmination of a variety of areas. Again, Medicaid being the largest portion of the department's budget. And if I just think about the increase from our current budget, which is the 2011-2013 budget, going to the upcoming 13-15 budget, which is the one that exceeded the $1 billion mark in general funds, there's a couple of things to probably look at there. A little over $93 million of that increase in general funds is related to the federal medical assistance percentage decreasing to 50%. So as that FMAP or assistance percentage decreases, then the state has to contribute more. So about $93 million of that increase was related to that.
Maggie, we're up against a break. We'll come back to this when we come back. It's What's on Your Mind, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. We're talking with Maggie Anderson. It's What's on Your Mind.
You're listening to What's on Your Mind with Steve Bakken and Scott Hannon. We'll be right back after these messages.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit ButlerMachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
I want to tell you about a North Dakota product that gets rid of odors, the bad smells. This product is out of Zeela, North Dakota. Daryl, tell us about odor medicine. What kind of smells can it destroy?
What odor medicine does, it destroys the odor molecule. Basically, it kills skunk smell, cat urine, you can mold, musty smells. If you got a camper that had a refrigerator that went out that's got a stinky smell in the refrigerator, it'll destroy the odor in that refrigerator permanently. And that's what it does. It basically destroys the odor so the odor will not come back. We give 100% guarantee if that smell ever comes back, call us up or refund your money.
The stench of rotting meat in a freezer that lost power. Think of that. That odor destroyed. If you go to GetRidOfSmellNow.com, use the promo code SCOTT, get 10% off your order, plus free priority shipping. GetRidOfSmellNow.com, 100% money-back guarantee. You can't beat it, and it's North Dakota made.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22 cubic foot deep freezer, in stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
On your mind, our final segment for a Tuesday edition of the program with Steve Bach, and I'm Scott Hennon. Last chance to ask any questions of our guest, Maggie Anderson, who heads up North Dakota's Department of Human Services, a budget that did break the billion-dollar barrier this last session, and we have a couple of minutes left. If you do have a question or comment, 800-228-0550, 800-228-0550, or 701-258-0550. Maggie, did you get a chance to answer everything you wanted to cover on that question of the dollars and cents?
I think there were a couple more points because you had talked about the billion-dollar general fund piece. Two other pieces where there was a significant amount of general fund involved in the increase in the department's budget. About $48 million in general funds went for what we call a dollar pass-through and a 3% inflationary increases for nursing homes, basic care, and providers who serve the developmentally disabled. And that was to allow them to be able to be competitive with the salaries that they pay their staff who, you know, when they're running 24/7 facilities to care for our elderly and disabled. And then for other providers who didn't receive the dollar pass-through specifically, such as hospitals, dentists, clinics, physicians, that type of provider, that was about $15.8 million in general funds that were added to our department to provide them a 4.4 inflation each year of the biennium. So in the department's budget of that $2.9 billion total funds, about $1.8 billion goes out to the Medicaid grants. And certainly there were increases in there to help the providers keep up with the cost of delivering health care.
Where is the need? Where is the need growing? I mean, in other words, with record, really a record low unemployment, a booming economy, is there ever places where you see a need declining?
Well, our enrollment has been fairly stable. The overall enrollment in Medicaid has been fairly stable, and it has been in our other economic assistance programs too. And in some areas, we've actually seen a decline in enrollment in program areas. But for example, in the Medicaid area, of that $1.8 billion that is for Medicaid each biennium, $1.1 billion. For the upcoming biennium goes into our long-term care services, so into nursing homes and services to provide for the physically and developmentally disabled. And so the cost of delivering services, which ultimately is paying salaries of staff in those facilities to care for them, continue to rise. And so sometimes you're not necessarily serving more people, but the cost per person continues to rise. And so that will continue to be reflected in our budget.
Maggie, we're going to go to a caller here, but I got one quick question. Do we see this budget continuing to grow like this? A record budget this year, is this something we're going to have to get used to in North Dakota with that budget continuing to grow?
I would suspect that, again, with such a high proportion of our budget being dollars that go out the door to providers and for direct health care delivery, that as inflation and the cost of delivering services goes up and nursing homes and hospitals and dental offices need to pay their staff and continue to be competitive with wages, that we will see increases in the department's budget to compensate for the payments that we make to those providers.
Larry in Fargo, you had a tie-in with nursing homes and infrastructure on that. Larry, what's on your mind today?
Yes, Maggie, I'm an energy engineer, worked for Honeywell for many years, and I tried to crack the Stonewall issue with long-term care for energy efficiency. Right now, as I understand it, long-term care gets reimbursed for whatever their energy bill is. And as a result, there's no incentive for the nursing home to take on additional capital debt to put in more energy-efficient equipment to reduce electrical and heating and cooling cost. Have you thought of looking into those areas and maybe changing the process to create an incentive for them to run a more efficient for heating and cooling operation?
Thanks for your question, Larry. To be honest, this question has not been raised before. We do have a fairly detailed rate-setting process for our nursing homes, and there are a variety of components to that where we pay for different services such as direct care, indirect care, and then there is a property component. And I think you raise a question that we should take a look at, and I will certainly follow up with our nursing home rate setting staff to see if this is something that's been on their radar and if they've maybe had conversations with the Long-Term Care Association about that. So thank you for the question and the idea.
Thank you.
Okay, yes.
Anything else, Larry? Larry's gone. All right, Larry and Fargo, appreciate the call and the input. How can folks, there's a comment card suggestion, or I guess a tip of some sort. How can folks interact best with you and others in the department, Maggie?
We do have a main Department of Human Services email address, and I'm I don't email to it, so I'm failing to recall what it is. But certainly people can email me at manderson@nd.gov, and I will be happy to forward their questions if they're not something that I can address that we need more specific, like in Larry's situation, our rate-setting administrator to look at that. I'd be happy to get it into their hands. So.
All right, appreciate it. I'm glad you joined us today on the program to answer some of the questions that have come up on What's on Your Mind as well. Thanks, Maggie.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
The new director of the Human Services in North Dakota, Maggie Anderson. Steve, we'll do it all again tomorrow.
You ask the questions, we get the experts in. It's just that simple.
Darn right.
It is What's on Your Mind. I'm Steve Bach along with Scott Hannon. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's What's on Your Mind.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row-crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row-crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
This message dares all fish oil consumers. Yes, many people now take fish oil supplements, but the makers of K48 Plus want you to know it's not what you consume, but how it is absorbed that counts. So we dare you to compare fish oil with K48 Plus. K48 Plus, an omega-3 powerhouse, is made with the highest grade and most potent dose of krill oil available, and is 48 times more easily absorbed than common fish oil. K48 Plus is both a remarkable anti-inflammatory as well as a powerful antioxidant. If you suffer from ailments such as diabetes, COPD, autism, arthritis, depression, migraines, lupus, Alzheimer's, glaucoma, joint pain, high cholesterol, memory loss, or Crohn's disease, you need to see the K48 Plus video at livepremium.net. That's L-I-V-E premium.net. Or please call 208-521-3601. That's 208-521-3601 and ask about K48 Plus. Restore hope, optimize health with K48 Plus.
There's been a disaster, and most of you don't even realize the serious concern for all of us. Alex Jones has warned you for years to get the most important supply you can for your liberty, freedom, and security, and that's food. We thought the danger was drought, or food diverted to our gas tanks, or food so expensive that we'd all need financial assistance to afford it, or our food being sold to other countries. But here's the most effective way you'll lose your liberty and security without a fight: government regulation. The do-it-yourself public services of many LDS Mormon food storage canneries can no longer be provided. This, along with the recent private gardening and farming regulations and additional government control of food supplies and resources, says food is the ultimate priority. eFoods Direct will provide free shipping on all food orders until further notice. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.